Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents In Search of the Uldans by Vasily Mahanenko, narrated by Matt Godfrey. Prologue. "What can I say?" drawled Galactagon's owner. "The score is 8-0 in your favor." He stepped away from the large screen displaying a room with 2 capsules and 3 bodies lying on the floor. In the image, the doors of the room burst open and a medical team rushed in to save the victims. "How do you do it? I simply cannot wrap my mind around it."
"I'll repeat it for the 100th time. Even when you push them to their limits, humans remain human," said the president, rubbing his hands with a pleased expression. "When will you finally agree with me?"
"Never. You're just lucky when it comes to the people you find."
"But it was you who chose this couple, like the 7 others earlier, and you were the one who came up with the script, worked out the backstory, and brought it all together. 8 out of 8, don't you think that the problem lies not in people, but in your philosophy?"
The mogul made no answer, nodding instead at the monitor and addressing a question to the dark corner of the room. "What about them? How are they?"
"Subject Eunice is alive. The bullets did not hit any vital organs," came the reply from some invisible aide. "She is in a state of shock. The sequence of events involving Subject Eunice unfolded in accordance to the plan. Subject Alexis is alive, but in critical condition. The bullets fired by Constantine before the attack did not hit any vital—"
"Before or after? What's the difference?" The president interrupted the report. "Will he live or not?"
"He requires a heart transplant, but he will live. The last bullet perforated the left ventricle. Currently, the med capsule is supplying his brain and body with oxygen."
"Please, avoid any unnecessary details," the president interrupted. "What do you need for the operation?"
"Permission and money. $30 million, according to preliminary estimates. Subject Alexis needs his heart replaced. He will also need prosthetics for his arm and leg."
"We'll assume that he won, then,"
the owner of Galactagon said, displeased.
"The money shall be wired to the settlement account. Do everything you must to keep him alive. There are too many casualties as it is." One of the doctors on the screen raised his hand to his ear, taking the call, nodded in agreement, and 2 medical teams surrounded Alexis Panzer.
"What about our assassin?" "Severe wounds, fatal. We lost him."
"A 4th one down."
The president simpered as if the situation amused him.
4 of the warriors who agreed to participate in your play are already dead."
"Our play?"
"No, Sergei, in yours. You saw the psychologist report. Alexis and Eunice have grown too immersed in virtual reality. They had reached the point of recklessness. When all the bridges were burned, this couple had nothing to lose. They, or he, it no longer matters, decided to become heroes. It happens. Accept it."
"I admit that I chose the wrong subject. The bond between this couple was too weak, not strong enough to take care of each other. You saw yourself that he did not consider what could happen to the girl. He saw only that he would lose the fight, and his only thought was how to kill the shooter. We need something more powerful, something that will compel a person to submit to his basest instincts."
"You want to play again?"
"Why not? Do we not have more subjects? There are 300 in the project. I won't only catch up to you. I'll beat you yet, Maxwell."
Galactagon's owner turned back to the dark corner.
"Develop and implement a scenario that will extract this couple from the project. And without any unnecessary verbiage, please. They are no longer of interest to us."
"And what is of interest?"
The president arched an eyebrow.
"I propose we consider our options. For instance, what would a mother do if she had to choose between her children, if she could choose which one was to die and which to live? As I recall, there are several suitable subjects for such a scenario in our project. Again, I wager that the mother would choose her firstborn. My data people tell me that firstborns are more loved."
"You don't know people at all."
The president shook his head.
"But I agree. I just saw you have a bottle of Maison Garlon from the 2045 vintage. You can say goodbye to it because a loving mother would. But hang on, let's consider the other options too. Maternal instinct is too close to the most basic of instincts. And the wager seems to me too dull and easy to predict.
As you like. Anyway, it is your turn to choose.
Chapter 1.
If you have ever been killed before, in real life, I mean, then you have my most sincere condolences.
There is nothing pleasant about this procedure. It is frequently painful, unnerving, and scary. Accordingly, if you are not partial to masochism, I recommend you avoid psychos and serial killers. Otherwise, my advice is grin and bear it, and hope that if paradise awaits you after death, it will be like the one I'm currently in. The sun, in this, my personal paradise, is always at its zenith. But you don't have to worry about heat stroke or sunburn. Comfort here is paramount. I blinked blissfully, staring straight into the disk of hot light, and savored the sea breeze along my skin. Warm emerald waves lapped at my feet and tickled them like a playful girl. The sweet chirping of exotic birds behind me mixed with the surf to form a tranquil music. Everything around me dispelled any possible cares and submerged me in nirvana, which is what I concentrated on, letting my mind enjoy a moment of peace. In precisely 10 seconds, I will give myself a mental kick and remind myself that these are nothing but illusions, digital decorations plastered upon the walls of the medical diagnostic center. In precisely 10 seconds, and not a second more, I have to remember who I am and why I am here. My name is Alexis Panzer. I am a programmer who specializes in Galactagon. Although at the moment I'm in a therapeutic VR scene generated by my medical recovery capsule, the world around me is a projection created to deceive my mind. I have to feel whole and healthy. Only then, according to the doctors, can I recover from my surgeries. 3 days have passed since I regained consciousness and found myself on this beach. Since then, my physician has dropped in to visit me, as well as to check in on my psychological recovery and discuss my physical condition. And, the physician pointed out, my physical condition was pretty poor. My battle with the final boss, Constantine, cost me an arm and a leg. Literally, and then some. I needed a heart transplant, 3 synth tissue patches on my lungs, and prosthetics for my arm and leg. There is still no prognosis, and all my questions received the same boilerplate answer, your current state is satisfactory. But it's the not knowing that hurts most. I don't know how my struggle with Constantine ended, and I constantly ask myself, how did I end up in this capsule? How long was I unconscious? What happened with Eunice and our child? Every attempt to learn anything from the doctor ended in failure. Doc claimed he knew nothing and told me to shut up. I obediently kept quiet, followed his instructions, and waited. The important thing was to live. I hadn't the strength to do anything more. My eyes began to ache from staring at the sun for too long. Squinting, I brushed away the tears. The discomfort was pleasant, if only because it took my mind off my anxious thoughts. Suddenly, I heard the rustle of sand, as if someone was walking along the strand, but I was not worried. My doctor always appeared like that. Gradually, instead of materializing beside me so as not to scare me, delighted by the company, I greeted him warmly without opening my eyes.
Guten Tag, Herr Doktor. Buen dia. Buongiorno.
I hope Patient Panzer has managed to demonstrate a healthy spirit.
And then some, in my view, answered an unfamiliar voice. But I lack the medical expertise to declare it with any authority. I opened my eyes and tried to look at the stranger through the dark spots in the sun's blinding rays. From my position on the sand, all I could make out were some expensive leather shoes.
Good afternoon, Alexis. It is extremely inconvenient to speak when you were in this position. Could you stand up, please?
While I silently got up, my information-starved brain worked at a frantic pace. The doctor had always showed up casually, sandals, canvas shorts, and a cheerful shirt covered in multicolored pills, like he was Dr. Mario, so as not to disturb me. This visitor, though, had appeared in his finest dress, a strict business suit, a leather case, and name-brand accessories. Either this is a representative of the corporation's legal department, people who tended to sleep in their suits and trousers, or he's a junior detective who wants to frighten me. My intuition screamed that the second option was more likely, but my experience insisted that this man had some power behind him. His commanding demeanor did not suggest he was trying to make an impression on me.
Thank you. Have a seat.
An office table and two chairs materialized right there on the sand. The man took off his sunglasses, opened the suitcase, and undoing the bottom button of his jacket, sank into one of the chairs. While I silently occupied the other chair, he took out several sheets of paper from a suitcase and arranged them on the table in a neat pile.
My name is Reynard the Fox. My title and responsibilities do not matter at the moment. What is salient here is that I can help you resolve the difficult situation you find yourself in.
The man looked at me expectantly. Could you explain what that situation is? I asked. I'm a little detached from reality at the moment, for reasons of health.
I understand. The law enforcement investigation believes that you intentionally moved to a dwelling equipped with special security and hacking equipment. The owner of the house you rented has already been charged with illegal use of specialized equipment. You hacked the tracking system, tricked one of the competitors, and killed him. Having made sure that Constantine was dead, you tried to get rid of Eunice, reckoning that she and her child were a burden. Thus, you faked an assault on yourself and falsified evidence in order to frame Constantine. This is currently the official theory of how the crime was committed. Do you have something to say?
Are you insane?
I jumped to my feet from the madness I'd just heard.
It didn't happen that way at all. He was the one who threatened us with a gun. He shot Eunice in her legs and arms. He threatened to kill her and then bring the child to term inside of her like she was some kind of incubator. I did what I did because I feared for our lives.
Please take your seat. I understood you. The doctor does not want you to grow agitated. I agree that the official theory has some flaws. That is why I'm here. Tell me your version of events.
According to official information, Constantine should have been in a coma under the supervision of doctors at the time of the crime, but instead he was found shot dead in your house. Cameras in the street have him coming to you independently and fully conscious. Is that so?
It is,
I agreed, taking my seat again, and with a hollow voice asked, Are Eunice and the child still alive? The sensible part of my mind quickly took hold of my emotions, isolating the important from what Reynard had said. You tried to get rid of Eunice. This could mean different things.
They are alive indeed, but they are in intensive care. She has lost a great deal of blood, and the child's life is in danger. The doctors are doing everything they can, though Eunice's life is not in danger.
These words took a great weight from my chest.
She is being maintained in a medically induced coma, and no one is allowed to see her. Consequently, you are the only witness in the investigation at the moment. Let's return to the purpose of my visit. I'm listening to you.
Trying not to omit a single detail, I told Reynard about everything, starting with the exit from the game cocoon, Constantine's appearance, his threats, the shooting, my desire to save my child, and me throwing the weight plate from my barbell. I had nothing to hide because I am a law-abiding citizen and was confident that the experts would draw the right conclusions. Thinking, I decided to add an important detail. He jammed my smart home system, but he couldn't know that mine occupied only half of our resources. Eunice had control over the other half. She could have recorded a video. Here's the access key to the system. Check it out. Reynard nodded and disappeared into the air where he sat. A second later, his belongings disappeared along with his chair and table, leaving me sitting alone in the middle of the beach. I stroked the upholstery of my armrest and made sure that Reynard the Fox had not been a figment of my imagination. I felt a little bit of ease, My family was alive, so the rest was unimportant. Once more, time turned to molasses. An hour passed, another, a third. But no one was in a hurry to drop the charges against me. In the end, I got up and, with almost Olympic calmness, returned to my main activity, swimming laps along the waves. Almost a day had elapsed before I finally received the long-awaited news. No matter how hard I tried to anticipate my guest's reappearance, Reynard managed to catch me off guard, materializing right beside me. "Good afternoon, Alexis. On behalf of the corporation and law enforcement, thank you for your cooperation. The incident has been fully reconstructed. There was indeed a video. All the charges against you have been dropped."
"Thank you," I nodded, relieved.
"Certain decisions have been made, and I have been tasked with acquainting you with them. Sit down. This conversation will be long and difficult." The desk and chair reappeared, once again recreating the seaside corporate office. I sat down in my old chair, which had remained after the last visit and therefore become my seat of meditation over the last 24 hours. "Let's get right to the point. In view of the circumstances, it was decided to terminate the scenario you were involved in ahead of schedule. This was done pursuant to Clause 13 of the contract you signed, the force majeure clause. You may reacquaint yourself with it if you like." Reynard handed me the signed document, and I read over the standard force majeure boilerplate. "You might agree that this is the only reasonable solution. All project participants have already been notified of the closure, and..."
"What participants?"
I stopped him.
"Has Eunice woken up?"
"Not yet." "Constantine killed only 6, Reynard replied. "Your friend, whom you asked us to take care of, is alive. Constantine was bluffing when he said that she and her family were dead."
"Alonzo and Lucille are alive." I even pumped my fist from joy. I had spent my time here tormenting myself for not being able to save them. And here it turned out that it had all been in vain. They were alive.
"Permit me to go on. My employers have instructed me to destroy the prize planet and everything that is somehow connected with this scenario, so that human greed does not cause more people to suffer. Yet it would be unfair to leave you without any reward, since you lost your opportunity to find the prize, even as you were so close to finding it. As compensation for the loss of profits for reasons beyond your control, you have been allowed to retain all the rewards you received in the course of your attempt."
"Rewards?"
The word caught me off guard. "You sound surprised."
"Why?"
"Galactagon is a commercial project aimed at generating income. Maximum profit is possible only if the internal game balance is respected. No players may have an unfair advantage or disadvantage relative to the others. Everyone is equal within limits. The exception are those individuals who spend their real money in Galactagon, but they are treated as a discrete player base that requires its own balance. In the case of the competition you took part in, the contestants were initially placed in conditions that were radically different from those faced by ordinary and commercial players. The corporation therefore instituted a reward and penalty system and applied it to the decisions you made in the course of your attempts. I could furnish some examples to explain better."
I nodded, unable to hide my chagrin and trying to dampen the fire which had just incinerated all my professional self-esteem to a sad heap of ash. Stupid old me had assumed that I had earned what I had. I thought I was cool, smart, unique.
Reynard, meanwhile, took a document from the suitcase and read, "If you care to examine this, here are all the rewards. Item: you received compensation for meeting the conditions for starting your search. Specifically, you could not know anything about the game, you could not prepare for it, and you had to make your choices based on your intuition. Item: you helped another player fulfill his long-cherished dream of becoming a pirate. You could have escaped from the training sector on your own, but took the player with you. For this, you received a frigate and engine prototypes. Item: you filed a formal complaint against the hacker Dan Cormack,
as a consequence of which he was sentenced to 22 years and had his illegally acquired property confiscated. For this, you received your own planet. Item, you tried to warn your fellow contestants and competitors about impending disaster, in particular Lucille and Eunice. For this, you received an orb ship with a full crew. Item, you agreed to marry Eunice, putting the interests of the child above yours. For this, you were granted access to the Zatrathi orbital station. Throughout, all your decisions and actions were considered by a special commission and found worthy of encouragement. Due to the project's termination, this commission has been dissolved, and there will be no more rewards. Now, you are a regular player in Galactagon, but, as I said, you are allowed to retain all of the rewards listed above. And with them, you have the chance of ensuring substantial profits for the owners of Galactagon. If I return to Galactagon, I muttered angrily. Keeping calm was proving difficult. My professional self-esteem had just suffered a significant blow. Everything was bubbling inside of me. It turned out that they had helped me out all along my way. I had played with a handicap. And now that their little betting game was done with, the mighty of this world had folded up the board and placed the pieces back in their case.
There is little doubt that you will return. Your injuries require lengthy and expensive treatment. You must spend the next 6 months in a medical recovery capsule. And, as luck would have it, your medical bills cost about as much as a couple high-level spacecraft in Galactagon, while your current financial situation leaves much to be desired. Take a look.
Reynard handed me a sheet of paper.
This is your balance sheet, your assets and accounts. That red number is the balance owed by you as of today, minus the costs of treatment and rehabilitation in the clinic for the current month. Do not forget that from now on, you are responsible not only for yourself, but also for your spouse and child. Even if you liquidate all your property, there is enough money for only 2 months. No more.
And you won't help us? We didn't end up here because of our own mistakes. We are here because two fat cats decided to have a little fun. They are liable for our condition and must pay for the treatment. It's spare change for them.
Mr. Panzer. Reynard shook his head. Be careful about what you say. I understand that you are upset now, and I will pretend that I have not heard anything. But keep in mind that I represent the legal interests of my clients. You are an intelligent man. It is foolish to blame anyone for the actions of a maniac. Do not take this as a threat, but no one except you is responsible for what happened. Let me remind you that you signed the contract voluntarily and, as a result, accepted all the risks and consequences. But my employers are ready to offer you a helping hand. Your medical capsule will be connected to Galactagon, giving you the option of playing the game and therefore earning money to pay for your treatment. First, we will connect you. Later on, when she is feeling better, we will extend the same offer to Eunice.
I pulled the document over to me dramatically and rubbed my nose. Treatment and rehabilitation in a private clinic really cost a lot. What about transferring us to an ordinary clinic? There had to be some way of severing all ties with Galactagon.
The choice is yours.
Reynard did not try to dissuade me and pulled out another sheet. This Fox character seemed loaded with boilerplate for any occasion. Here are the findings from the medical commission. Without the current medical capsule supporting you, you have 2 days to live. Public clinics, unfortunately, are not equipped with such modules, and it's not for me to tell you about the quality of their services. I felt like a hunted quarry, which had only one way out, to surrender. And the truth was that I myself would customarily go to private doctors and clinics as soon as I felt under the weather. The public health care was free and very good, but it was 20 years behind the private sector in terms of medtech.
So, what is your decision?
Reynard hiked an eyebrow. He gave me next to no time to think. As if I have a choice. Very well. I agree to your terms.
I figured you would. I won't occupy you any further. Rest assured that your oral consent is sufficient for your capsule to be hooked up to Galactagon. You'll feel right at home. The weather's quite hot in there, too, at the moment. All the best.
Reynard vanished, taking his office furniture, documents, and the still-open briefcase with him. Caught off guard, I collapsed into the sand and swore long and hard, feeling even more angry and humiliated. Will you just look and see how quickly the bettors pulled the plug on their entire wager as soon as the results had become clear? At least I can be happy that we got off so easy. Along with the prize and the planet, they could have just as easily pulled the plug on all the survivors as well.
We need to run some tests, Alexis.
The doctor appeared immediately after Reynard left, and seemed already up to date.
We must check to see how your time in Galactagon will affect your body. We will start with a few seconds and then gradually increase the interval. We're connecting you to the test server now.
The seascape around me drifted and reformed into a colorful spaceport. I managed to make out several docked frigates before I returned back to the beach. The doctor was nearby. The medical capsule gave him a full account of my physical condition, but the doctor himself wanted to monitor my emotional stability.
Excellent. There is no adverse reaction. We will increase the immersion interval to a minute. If you feel sick, simply sit down on the ground. This will serve as a signal to stop the test.
The interval kept increasing. First a minute, then 5, 10, half an hour, 3. The next 2 days for me turned into a series of spatial jumps from the beach to the unfamiliar spaceport in Galactagon. There were no other players on the test server, and the NPCs offered few dialogue options, so at first I wandered aimlessly amid the empty buildings. Then it occurred to me to take the opportunity and look for non-trivial ways to get into the command center. I figured that most of the Galactagon spaceports were created using the same templates, and as a pirate in training, it was useful for me to know the ways of getting into the planet's holiest of holies.
The tests have been concluded successfully. You are ready to enter Galactagon, the doctor announced after the second day. Any requests before we send you to the game?
Yeah, I want to connect the capsule to my smart home system. I would be lost without Stan to guide me along. Information analysis, web search, a sensible advisor. The personality matrix of my home AI suited me like a glove, and I was not about to give it up. In addition, it was unwise to allow yourself to leave reality for half a year without maintaining your business IRL. Stan would be my eyes and ears in the real world.
Our clinic does not have its own technicians, nor the capability to do this, but for an additional fee, we can contact your home AI service department. Will that suit you?
It did not suit me one bit, and in fact, it annoyed me even more. But also, there was nothing I could do about it. After a long and ornery conversation with the clinic representative, I felt like twisting the neck of the thin-necked extortionist. It should be legal to sign contracts with tears, as if to say, I agree with the terms, but I ain't happy about them. I was forced to pay an amount with 5 zeros to expand the clinic and install extra broadband channels. The clinic director was unmovable. Either I pay the specified amount or I don't get Stan. The bank terminal appeared as soon as I hollered my consent and kicked up a cloud of sand in exasperation. Those bastards. I don't even want to imagine how much it costs to integrate a banking module into a med capsule.
Good afternoon, Master. What are your instructions?
Stan could not speak, only write to the chat in the interface, but even this was enough for me to break into a wide grin. My heart immediately warmed up. Saying goodbye to the doctor and agreeing to weekly checkups, I found myself in complete darkness, barely diluted by a loading bar. Galactagon was slowly seeping into my medical capsule. The loading bar reached 100%, and the game opened its arms to accept me. I had been gone a mere 6 days, but it felt as if I had lived an entire life during my absence. I spawned in the palace of the Pressian Emperor, in one of its myriad guest rooms. I made a few familiar movements to check my new hardware's performance, and collapsed in my bed as I was. Now it was possible to relax and sleep. My own caring doctor had injected me with a mild tranquilizer.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?